Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There can be no argument against it. We are a possessions-based society. We live in a wealthy country, and we like stuff. We like collecting stuff. Old things, new things, useful things, sentimental things. Having things, possessions, makes us feel good. We must confess. Like we are important. Like we have worth, value. And a lot of happiness comes from our possessions. We often find security in our possessions, such as a valued insurance policy, a well-protected home, or a cherished loved one. But what we do not like to admit is that at any time, any of these things can be gone in an instant. What then is left? Now, that is not to say that possessions are evil. Far from it, in fact. For items by themselves can be no such thing. In fact, everything that we have in our possession has been created in some way, shape, or form by God Himself. And all that we have has been given for our good, for our benefit. So having possessions is not the problem. It is the love and the admiration of those possessions that derails us from the right way of thinking. As scriptures teach, it's not money that's the root of all kinds of evil, but the love of it, the craving and desire for it. And then on the flip side of that, getting rid of all of our possessions, everything that God has given to us, will not make us then happier or feel more secure or even more important. So God is not against possessions. So long as you possess the only thing that is truly necessary, the Son. And we hear that clearly from today's epistle reading from 1 John chapter 5, verse 12. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Doesn't get much clearer than that. And over the past few weeks, our gospel lessons have communicated that same truth. For in those readings from John chapter 15, we have relayed to us the importance of remaining in Christ, staying within His name. Now, Jesus initially intended those words for His beloved disciples who were about to see Him get crucified, who were about to see Him dead and laid into a tomb. Jesus was about to leave them behind. But He would not leave them with nothing. Sorry, I couldn't say that without a double negative. But He would not leave us with nothing. He gave them the promise of the Father, that the Comforter would be sent to them to be with them. Enter Pentecost, the great celebration of the dramatic arrival of the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Holy Trinity, who descends upon the apostles in much the same way that He descended upon Jesus at His baptism. And what remained of value for those apostles following the Pentecost was that Jesus, their Jesus, had given them His word. Not just a promise to do something, but actually His living, breathing word. For that word of Christ is life itself. It is valuable. It is a great possession. And the world hates that. The world hates the word of Christ and those who have that word. And that is because those who possess the word, aka Jesus, are different. They're not the same anymore. They have been changed. They are no longer one with the world around them. They're no longer of the world. Jesus, the Word made flesh, has changed all of that. For Christ has given himself to sinners in the Word, the gospel, connected with water in baptism, with bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. In those blessed sacraments, sinners are changed. There's no argument against that. New identities are given to replace those damaged, old, sinful ones. The baptized in Christ, like young Matthew Bruner, like you and me, are no longer worldians. Yeah, I made that up. Those who live or are of the world. Rather, we are Christians. I didn't make that up. We are Christians. We belong to Christ and to his kingdom. And the world, our fellow human beings who are sinners but who do not trust in Christ, they hate us for it. And Jesus knew it. And so Jesus spoke those words to his disciples in what is called the high priestly prayer, John chapter 17. In that prayer, Jesus, the great mediator between God and man, the go-between for us to God, prays for his followers, his disciples. He knows what is down the road for them, what is inevitable for them as his followers. For that same hatred shown toward Jesus would be shown to any who bear his name, who are his followers. And so Jesus graciously intercedes for his disciples. He prays to the Holy Father to keep them in the Word and to sanctify them in the truth. Jesus then calls that word of the Father the truth itself. And so how valuable then is that word of Jesus, the truth, the word of the Father. For it is truth, and it sanctifies, cleanses, set apart, makes new all who trust in Jesus. And it is that word of Jesus the disciples will need to cling to in the near future. Jesus himself is what they will need to survive the onslaught and attack of the evil one. There is no possession greater than Jesus. Through baptism, then, Jesus, our Lord, comes to us and is gifted to us. In the preaching of the gospel, Jesus comes to us and is gifted to us. And in the Lord's Supper, Jesus visits us and dwells within us to strengthen us in the faith. He desires strong and solid followers, those who are well-rooted in the truth of his word. They're not easily swayed by the winds of the world. Christ wants that, desires that for all who trust in him. For he does not want to lose any of those who have been baptized into him and who trust in him. And yet the sad reality remains that some do. Some do fall away. Some who have even been baptized into Jesus himself neglect him and give up on him, the only true possession necessary. So the things of this world dominate, take over their thinking. Comfort is fleeting for them. Their security has crumbled. And that further then strengthens their resolve to distance themselves from Christ. The Lord Jesus wants that for no one whatsoever. Instead, he makes himself so readily available to his people through the means of grace to prevent exactly that. And so in those means of grace, the channels of Christ's love, your faith is firmed up, toned, strengthened, leading you more and more to desire those means of grace, the Word and the sacraments of Christ. And in so doing, you are answering Jesus' invitation to remain in Him, to abide in Him. You are fulfilling your role as a branch to His precious vine, even as the Father, the vine dresser, continues to prune you so that you grow in the faith. And even though you continue in your sin, the grace of God in Christ Jesus continues ever more so within you. As ones baptized into Jesus, you need never fear or worry about your salvation. In this possessions-based society, our Holy Father gives us the one possession that is His most prized possession, His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. He has become one of us to live for us and then to die for us, so that He can rise for us and ascend into heaven for us. With our identities now rooted squarely and firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ, we live our lives in the joy of knowing that Christ has overcome even this world, and that nothing can separate us from His love. There is no greater security than that for our eternal lives. For we are baptized members of God's family, His chosen people, His church. And once baptized, no one can take that away. And so with such truth firmly embedded within us, becoming a part of us, we understand that a contingency plan is not necessary. For what Christ Jesus has done cannot be undone. It will not be forgotten by the Father. For all who bear Christ do so by His great grace. And you who have heard the Word and have been baptized into Jesus, He has been given to you. The salvation that comes with Him, that is Him, that He brings and gives to you, belongs to you, is your prized possession as well. For all who have the Son have life. You have the Son, and so you have life. Amen. Now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep you in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.